I am Jeannie Johnson, and for 34 years, I taught people with disabilities. 8 of those years, I worked with people who were developmentally challenged. And then for the other 26 years, I worked at a center-based rehabilitation facility in their vision impairment department. And I started out teaching kitchen skills and home improvement management, and then also started teaching Braille and did some adult basic education and a little assistive technology. I feel sorry for my students who were in those classes because I probably know just enough about assistive technology to be dangerous. But I've always enjoyed cooking. And when I was younger, I didn't think I'd be able to cook. My grandmother, with whom I lived growing up, was an extraordinary cook, but she had no knowledge about how to teach a blind grandchild how to cook. She started out one day wanting me to turn hamburgers that were already sizzling in the skillet, and she was trying to take my hand with the spatula in it and, here, put your arm down like this. And anyway, it scared the you-know-what out of me. And finally, in college, I had a roommate who went to summer school one year, so we got an apartment. It was the semester before I was supposed to student teach. And he said, well, Jeannie, you're going to have to know how to cook, so let's get an apartment, and one of the things I'll do is teach you how to cook. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. Well, she did it. She knew exactly how to do it. She was so good. And I've been cooking and collecting recipes ever since. And back at the end of 2000, I guess it was 18 now, in September of that year, I bought an Instant Pot. And, you know, it was kind of all the rage. And then I brought it home and took it out of the box and thought, oh my gosh, this has so many buttons on it. What in the world was I thinking? What am I going to do with this? So I just let it kind of sit there and vegetate in my office. And then later in the year, somebody told me about a podcast where they were showing a different couple of models of Instant Pots, and people who were blind were using them. And then there was something else that I had found related to that. And I thought, okay, I need to learn how to use this. Well, as I sometimes do with things, I actually got obsessed with the Instant Pot. And I started using it in January of 2019 for New Year's Day. I made Hoppin' John, which is black-eyed peas and rice. And I know y'all are mostly, if not all, from Indiana. So I don't know what your New Year's traditions are up there, but down here, you have to have black-eyed peas if you want to have good luck throughout the year. And I normally don't like black-eyed peas unless they're smothered by other stuff. So Hoppin' John works. Rice and seasonings and other chopped up vegetables. And so anyway, but since Rita is interested in the large appliances, I think what I'll do is I'll talk a little about those first, and then I'll take any questions you may have on large appliances. And after that, we'll go to the small appliances, because there are actually a lot more electric small appliances than there are large appliances. You know, in large appliances, you have your stoves, your refrigerators, your freezers, your dishwashers. If you want to throw laundry in there, your washers and dryers. And then if you're really getting fancy, I guess they still make trash compactors. I didn't actually check into those. But anyway, we have fewer large appliances. And so several months ago, the CCLVI affiliate asked me if I could write a chapter on accessibility of large and small kitchen appliances. And, you know, it what was once a hobby, you know, or an interest has become a big hobby, and I've been able to expand my knowledge and share it with other people. So it's really been fun. So my husband and I, even though there was COVID out there, set up transportation one day to go to a local Home Depot. We acted like we were interested in buying, you know, all these different kitchen appliances. And boy, was I surprised, because since we bought our house in since we got married in 2009, and since then, One year I had him get me the stove that I wanted, you know, my ideal stove. Another year I got the refrigerator that I wanted. And then a few years ago we had to replace our washer and dryer. And the only thing we had that I had before the marriage was my freezer, because I had bought it before we got married. So, you know, I'm thinking it was going to be similar to what I already had, because I bought all these, you know, in the last 10 years. Boy, was I surprised. Most, if not all of the appliances that they had on display had digital displays with buttons or touch screens. And a lot of them had menu headings that you had to cycle through, you know, and look at all your different options and pick the one you wanted, or else they could be operated by a smartphone app or a Wi-Fi app, you know, such as your Lady A or your G home device, you know. So it's like, whoa, really? Well, the first thing that I noticed is there were hardly any ranges that had regular burner elements. All the electric ones practically had smooth tops. So let me put your mind at ease. If there are any of you who are needing a new stove and you're thinking, well, I'm blind or I'm visually impaired, there's no way I can use a stove top. Yes, you can. Okay. So if any of you don't know how to do that, when it comes question time, go ahead and ask. Otherwise, I won't waste my time telling you if you all already know, because I hear that some of you out there obviously already have smooth top stoves. And so it is possible to use those if you're blind. My smooth top stove would not be good for a person who has low vision, because the oven works by a digital panel. And on my stove, the panel is at the back of the stove. So if you're visually impaired and you have to get close, you're going to have to lean over all the burners to try to see that panel. However, on a lot of the newer models, the panels were in front. So, and I was really impressed by that. So you wouldn't have to lean over the food in order to try to read the panels. There were some, you know, most of your ovens did have the touch panel like mine has. And there were a few of them that for the heating elements, you had to cycle through, like push a button. If you pushed it once, it was on high, and push it again and it goes down a little, and push it again and the heat gets a little lower. So for something like that, you would probably have to memorize the order in which the presses, you know, took you. So that was kind of my introduction to the newer stoves. They had more controls than they did back when I got mine, but the panels often were at the front or on the side. So then you come to the refrigerator, and those have really changed. I've seen refrigerators that have ice and water in the door, and used to you'd have a big button for one and a big button for the other, and you could easily feel them. But now often it's another touch panel, and if you touch the wrong thing, when you think you're going to get ice cubes, you end up getting water. However, I do have a friend who has one of these, and she is able to,
Speaking, mute themselves? We can pick up every little noise if you're not just sitting quietly. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay. How do you mute? I don't know. I don't remember.
On the
car, is that car six?
No, car six to mute and unmute.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead, Jeannie.
Okay. So on the I was hearing it too. I just didn't know where it was coming from. So on the refrigerator, I did have a friend who had one of those touch panels on her refrigerator for ice and water, and she was able to get little raised print letters or shapes and put, see, I don't know whether it's someone's unmuted or whether it's the connection or what, because I keep hearing it, but anyway, she was able to put like a square for the cubes and a round one for the water and some other shape for the crushed ice. So that's one way you can do, you know, differentiate by putting actual tactile shapes on there. Then I was surprised, you know, any refrigerator or freezer that I've had, you open it up and you have the knob that you turn for the temperature settings, but now they have touch pads inside the refrigerator setting all those different things. And that would be a bit difficult. I'm not sure exactly how one would do it because, of course, they don't have them necessarily plugged in where you can try all these different things. But it was just a big smooth touch panel on the right side of the refrigerator, and most of the models were this way for both the refrigerator and the freezer. There was one brand of refrigerator, and I didn't write down the specific brands at the time because the article I had written, they didn't really want me to get brands, but it had Wi-Fi. And with the Wi-Fi, you could tell the refrigerator to raise or lower the temperature. And you could even somehow, through your Wi-Fi device, let it know what was in the fridge so that if you forgot about a sandwich that you could put in a day or two that got hidden behind other things, where if you have low vision, even see it, it would remind you, you know, that you had the sandwich in there and you might want to eat it. So I thought that was pretty clever. But again, since they weren't plugged up, they couldn't actually demonstrate them to me. Dishwashers are the same way. There are some that will work with Wi-Fi. There are some that do have touch screens and some with buttons that cycle through different menu options. And my dishwasher, it has buttons and they're easy to feel, but they do cycle through different menu choices. But once you get it set, if you don't want to mess with it after that, you know, like I always want mine to clean on hot temp and I don't do a pre-rinse and all that, I can just leave that way. And then all I have to do is hit the start button twice and it'll start and wash my dishes, which is what I want it to do. You can get dishwashers that are inexpensive. I like, and y'all may laugh at me because it's an old brand, I like the Whirlpool dishwashers because you can get many models, not all, but many models where the silverware holder is actually on the door. So that leaves all the room inside for whatever dishes you want to put in there. And I really like that. And the higher priced Whirlpool models work very well. I bought a higher priced one because the one that came with this house was a piece of junk, but somebody took it off my head.
Oh boy.
And I believe there was a dishwasher, like I say, that worked with the Lady A. And then washers and dryers. Something that many of these things do, including the washer and dryer, and some of you probably have these washers and dryers, is when you push a button, it makes a noise, it makes an audible sound, and when it starts, it makes an audible tune, and then when it's done, it'll sing another audible tune. So, you know, it's kind of fun. Some friends and I know a little boy here in Nashville who is blind. And, you know, when I was little and, a small child who was blind, my big thing was I would want to hear how people's shoes sounded when they walked on the hardwood floor, or I'd want to bend down and feel their shoes and see what they look like. Well, his thing is, what does your washer sound like? Or what does your washer say? And he loves washers and dryers, you know, now that have all these little tunes with them. With some appliances, you can get Braille overlays. I don't know specifically which ones, but we had one of the people at Home Depot telling us about these. The big thing he emphasized is touch screens, which are probably my very least favorite thing, are very popular, and they're the way of the future. So that's the basics that I have on large appliances. So if you have any specific questions, whether it's how to use a smooth top stove or anything like that, and let me say, I haven't seen every model, you know, so there may be some that I don't know about, and they may have changed in the last few months. I think it was July that my husband and I went to the Home Depot, but I'll be glad to try to field your questions and see if I have answers for you. So, any questions?
Well, I have one. When I moved in my house, it was already, it was a brand new house, and the appliances were included. Mm-hmm. And the stove hadn't been installed into the little slot, you know, how they have the slot in the cabinets. And And I was feeling the stove, and I'm like, it was a smooth top. I mean, totally. Uh-huh. There was no way I was going to know where the burner was. And I asked him, and I felt the back, too, by the way. Well, the back had the touch screen for the oven, but it did have knobs for the burners.
Okay, that's the way mine is, yeah.
Yeah, and I said, is there a way you guys can trade this out for a stove that has burners, you know, the coils or mm-hmm. whatever? And they did find me, same brand, matches, you know, it's that stainless steel color, so it matches the other stuff in there. And I did put Braille on the touch screen for my oven. The weird thing is the touch screen must have some heat to it because I use Dymo tape, and some of the dots are kind of melted.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, some of the dots melted on that plastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So, but now if I was a rehab teacher for 20 years.
Okay.
Like you.
Yeah.
Of course, when I was teaching, we did not have the smooth top. We had a gas burner, and we had the electric burner with the coil.
Right. We did, too.
Yeah. And so I never taught anybody how to use the smooth top or flat top, which is great for cleaning, but how do you get a pan centered on something you cannot feel?
Oh. Okay. The way that I do it is I turn the burner on, and then, you know, before I put a pan on it, and then I can feel where the heat is coming up, and I don't put my hand down, obviously, against the stove.
Right. Yeah.
And I have my hands about an inch above the stove, and then I set the pan, you know, in the middle of that heat area.
Mm-hmm.
If yours is like mine, my two front burners, you can turn the knob to the right for a bigger pan or to the left for a smaller pan. So
that's what mine does.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know when I got it, I thought, what? But anyway,
uh-huh.
it works really well. So then after I get the pan on it, then I put my hands at either side of the pan. Again, of course, I'm not touching the stove itself. Uh-huh. And I can feel if I can feel the heat around the edge of the pan, and then I know I probably entered. And it gets easier with practice, Rita, I promise. So
I do that. That's how I do my stove.
Exactly.
Same way.
I do it. I don't turn my burner on first.
Okay.
I have used a smooth top long enough, and I know about where my burner is, so I will put my pan on and then turn my burner on, and then I'll put my hand above the stove just a little bit on each side of the pan, and I can tell how much heat I have on each side of the pan so I can get it centered.
Well, I do that
I do that sometimes too.
But you know, for new people, that's what I suggest is turning the heat on first, and you will get
it. Make a comment?
Uh-huh.
Jenny, I have a question. I have a question, Jenny. I have a smooth top, and I usually put the pan on and turn it on and I could feel there's like a circle. You could feel the circle. You could
some,
feel the circle.
Yeah, some ranges do have that little circle, because I know looking at them. Some do not.
Some don't.
Oh. Yes. But I have a
question. That would be okay. That would be fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Question about pots and pans. I had my pan for a long time, fry pan like, but it kind of twirls around, you know, it twirls around. It doesn't stay put.
Huh.
And I'm wondering, is there certain fry pans out there that would work on top of the, that won't? You know, if I bump it, goes around.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Make a comment.
I don't know. I haven't heard anyone else mention that problem, but, you know. Maybe that would be a good excuse to get a new set of pans, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
And I believe another lady had a comment or wanted to ask a question.
Yeah, I have a comment.
Yes, go ahead.
I have a Bosch dishwasher, and they have the old-fashioned buttons, and it doesn't cycle.
Uh-huh.
One of my issues, since they don't let us turn these things on, is I live in an apartment, and all the microwaves in apartments generally are over the stove, and they have the new Samsung instant-activated buttons. I've been told the ACB is going to challenge this in some way, that we're fighting for better buttons. But the problem with labeling these things, suppose you have a 3x3 grid and you're trying to get to the center square. Anything you touch activates.
Oh, yeah.
Buttons, they're made by Samsung.
I haven't seen those
and
yet.
Samsung makes 90% of the microwave buttons. And this is a real problem, particularly on some of the models. Well, it will go 0 to 5 and 6 to 9. And so you're going across four buttons to get to wherever you've got to go, and you're activating everything.
Wow. Yeah, see, that one I'm not familiar with yet. And guys, you know, I do not, I'll tell you, I do not know all the answers. I haven't seen all the models, and things are changing every
day. That is virtually every above-the-stove microwave, perhaps not Bosch. I live in a high-rise, so I get to try everybody's microwave.
If you get to pick your own brand of microwave, I can tell you that as far as I know, Panasonic still makes microwaves, and they make both the countertop and the built-ins that actually have buttons on them. So that might be something you want to consider.
Yeah.
And I have a GE that has a touch pad that I've been able to put Braille overlay, well, you know, Braille dymo tape.
Mm-hmm. That's what
I do. The problem is when the buttons activate with the slightest touch.
Right, I understand. I'm just saying another brand.
Sounds like it's too sensitive. You know, the touchpad sounds like it's too sensitive.
Yeah.
I don't have any trouble.
I mean, my microwave has a touch screen, but I mean, you have to actually press. You don't
And I have to press mine too. I have seen touch screens that are very sensitive. One thing I'll mention here is sometimes if you're going to get an appliance, you can find an accessible PDF online. I know JAWS, and I think probably some of the other screen readers do a much better job now.
Okay, sweetheart.
So if you can find an accessible manual, a lot of them will have a sensitivity adjustment, but it's probably hidden in all the other stuff in the manual, so you might want to check that too.
I just Googled Braille overlay for a microwave, and really the only brands that came up where you could really request the Braille overlay is Whirlpool.
The small ones that are made by Amazon that work with Lady A have a Braille overlay that you can
That one too. I saw
that. I was about to say that actually. Yeah, that's the one I own personally. That.
Uh-huh. Okay. And you can also make your own Braille and have a either a sighted family member or friend or Be My Eyes or Ira help you with getting them put on to your touch screen if you need Braille.
Yeah, I make my own Braille.
I do too.
Jeannie, do you know, are they still making the talking microwave?
I think, and don't hold me to this, they're very expensive, but I think Blind Mice Smart still has some.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, they do as of 2 years ago.
Okay.
I have a question, actually.
Uh-huh.
So this is just a general, and by the way, my name is Mitchell Bridwell. This is the first information station that I've actually been able to
Hi, Mitchell.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. I'm a novice at cooking, and because at college, I don't really, you know, I don't have a kitchen.
Right.
So all I really do is just microwave meals with that the Amazon Basics microwave. They also have the smart oven, which is basically the same thing but larger
and more expensive.
Right. But yeah, and that, but I'm curious when you were discussing just ranges. Uh-huh. I've just been kind of confused as to how it's not just in general how to make sure you don't burn yourself, but also check how done food is.
Okay. Well, of course, one way to not burn yourself is never touch the hot element or whether it's on a smooth top or the coils, whatever it may, or even if you're using gas. You're going to, and I don't know how long you've been blind, but a big part of it is learning the position of the pans. I always position my pans, you do not want the handles sticking out because you don't want to accidentally walk by and, you know, knock your pan off.
Good to know.
The sliding skillet, you know, she would never put the handle facing out because then no telling where it would end up.
Yep.
Generally, if there is room on either side of the stove, which would basically be the left side, I'm right-handed, so generally I have my handles going off to the left, and that way I can put my left hand on the handle and stir the food with my right hand.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I do, too. Yeah.
And it changes, you know, your food changes textures as it cooks, Mitchell. And if you're trying to fry something, and frying can be a challenge, especially for new cooks, but we're going to get to something that's even better than the stovetop in a few minutes. And some of you can figure out what that is. But you can locate the item with your spatula. That's what I do. And then I put my fingers on top, because whatever you're frying, the top side isn't going to be hot. It's going to be the underside that's next to the skillet.
Right.
And then that helps me so that I can scoop my spatula under there and get it turned. And if you're doing several things, like, say, four hamburger patties, you want to have, you know, two at the front, one on the right, one on the left, and then further away, one on the right and one on the left. And so you're going to turn them in the same order that you put them in the pan.
Right.
Ooh, that's a good thing.
Good to have a pattern. So those are just a couple of ideas.
But as things get done, as things are finishing, especially if you're browning meat, you can live if you listen for the sound of the meat, because as it fries, as it's getting more done, the sound starts to dwindle.
Yeah, that's
right.
You can smell it. You can smell it getting there.
You can
chew.
And you can
I don't use just the standard spatula. I use the double spatula, and I love it.
Okay. And a lot of people
grab cheeses and butters, you know, I can grab the top and the bottom.
Right.
And flip it without losing it.
Rita, you need to tell me which one you're using, because they always slip out of mine.
So. Yeah.
I find it the easiest to make grilled cheeses and such with my, I just use the George Foreman grill.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to get to all those things in just a minute. Are there any other questions about the large appliances?
No, not for me.
Not for me either. Anybody have a large appliance question?
I have one little question.
Okay.
You know, a lot of times if I'm going to bake at 350, I have a dot on my spot that's bake, and then I have a dot on the other side that says, you know, start. And it automatically goes to 350 on mine, unless I want to get a pan that I can change it. But anyway, then if I, it's going to take maybe 5 minutes to heat up or whatever, and I'm going to walk away, and I come back, and I'm not sure if it's on 350 or not.
Oh, you don't know if it's totally heated up?
Oh.
I don't worry about it. If I'm ready to stick it in there, I stick it in there, and I check it when it's supposed to be done, and if it's not,
when I was out of the room, you know, but I didn't hear it.
Yeah, you don't hear that little beep that the says, okay, I'm hot, baby.
What you might do, Dolly, is sometime when you know you're going to bake something, stay, you know, as soon as you get it, you know, push the start button, stay in there, and time it until you hear the little beep, 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 you know, to say that the oven's hot, you know, 350. Time it, and then you'll know if you leave the room, you know, you could check your phone, check your talk and watch. Oh, it's been 5 minutes. I need to get back in there and throw that in the oven. Or you could time how long it takes to heat up, in other words. And I do think it's about 5 minutes, because when I was in college learning how to be a rehab teacher, they always told us, you know, you can put your food in a cold oven and just add 5 minutes to the cook time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they told us that sort of thing. So I think it's usually about 5 minutes to heat up.
Yeah.
My oven takes 10.
I was going to say, it depends on how high you're going. If you're going to like 425 or 450, it would probably take longer.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Okay. Well, then go ahead.
No, I said thank
you. Okay. If y'all are done with the large appliances, let's go to my favorite one, which is small appliances. And as you may have seen in
the... were you going to just deal with kitchen stuff? Because, you know, my question was about washers and dryers.
Oh, okay. What's your question about washers and dryers? I did mention those.
Well, when you were browsing around Home Depot,
as far as the controls on washers and dryers, what are most of them now? Are there any knobs? Are there buttons? Are they
most of them are buttons. I do have a friend who recently got a washer, and she was able to find one that looked like the old-fashioned ones where they had the knobs. But most of them have, like ours has, square buttons, and you push the top right button, and that says, okay, now you can make your settings, and if you have to change them, then you push the other buttons, and then you push the bottom right button, and it actually locks it. And a lot of these, whether they're top loaders or front loaders, when you start them, they lock, so there's no way you can accidentally open them while they're going. And it starts, but most of them are the push button type, and so for the other buttons, like, you have to learn, you know, is it delicate and then regular wash and then super wash or whatever. But with each push of that particular button, it goes to a different menu item. But if you leave it set, like if there are settings that you regularly use, you can just leave it there, which is what we generally do. So I just have to push the top button for we're ready to start, and then the bottom button for lock it and go. So,
what brand is yours?
I think we have Samsung, but don't hold me to that.
Oh, okay.
My husband, we bought it a couple years ago.
Okay, and the dryer is kind of similar?
Uh-huh, the dryer is similar, yeah.
Okay. All right, thanks. You can go to your favorite.
To my favorite part. Okay. So, as you may have seen, if you saw the intro to this call, I do have a Facebook page, because I really got obsessive about Instant Pots and air fryers especially. And I joined all these Facebook groups, and someone would say, here's what I had for lunch. And there's an image, and they say what it was. It's just this picture, right? Or they say, I love this recipe. It's one of my favorites. And it was off of Pinterest. And again, it was an image. So I decided, no, this does not work. So I started a group, and we're about almost a year and a half old. We have just a little over 400 members now. You don't have to be blind to join, but a lot of sighted people like pictures, guys, if you don't know that already. So it's called All, A-L-L, Text, T-E-X-T, that means no images, All Text Small Kitchen Electrics. And what we do is we talk about small electric kitchen appliances, whether it's a digital mixer or a hand mixer that isn't digital, or an air fryer or Instant Pot or microwave or coffee maker, whatever people want to talk about. And we all share with each other our tips, our questions, our recommended brands, our accessibility helps, and all that kind of thing. So any of you are welcome. If you do Facebook, you're welcome to join that group. So, as I said, I got really obsessed with Instant Pots, and I decided I was going to learn about them. And one of the greatest ways to learn about some of these small appliances is to go to YouTube. Now, I've gone to YouTube for crafting things and all that, and a lot of those, they'll say, here, do what I'm doing. Well, fortunately, a lot of the people that are doing Instant Pot and air fryer do not do that. They tell you exactly what they are doing.
Oh, that's good.
They tell you what ingredients they are using in a particular recipe with the exact amounts. And so I did most of my learning for Instant Pot and air fryer through YouTube, and it's been wonderful. Some of the small appliances, such as the Instant Pot, do have either smartphone or Wi-Fi models. I think Instant Pot has quit making the smartphone model, but I think they still have a model that you can run with Wi-Fi. It is very important, if you get an appliance, whether it's an Instant Pot or the little Amazon microwave or whatever it is, to know how to operate it, because if for some reason your network is down, you can still use the controls that are on the appliance to operate it, rather than using Lady A or whatever you might be using. A lot of the small appliances have buttons. Some of them, they feel like little bubbles, And again, just like with the large appliances, generally when you push them, they will make a little beep or a little sound. And so you know that when you pushed it, it actually did engage and do the function that you wanted. Depending on what the appliance is, there are still some appliances that you can get with analog, which would be your knobs instead of digital. Several of us in the It's Electric group, and we don't have, you know, we have some people who are regulars and some people who come in who are new. And by the way, that is every other Wednesday night as a community call. It'll be this coming Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. But a lot of us who go to that group and a lot of us who are in my Facebook group really like a particular air fryer toaster oven combination. And it comes with analog or digital, and most of us have the analog one. There are a few appliances that talk, but just because it talks doesn't mean it's the best one. There is a multi-pressure cooker called Cuckoo, for those of us who love our cuckoo clocks, we know all about cuckoo. But it talks, but it's not necessarily the best multi-cooker that will pressure cook, because I went ahead and ordered it. It was on sale a month or two ago from QVC, and I was really excited about it because the price was really good compared to what it had been. And but it turned out that you're not supposed to cook pasta in it, because what it does, instead of having you drop the pressure, for those of you who know how to pressure cook with the newer appliances, It automatically drops the pressure on its own. And it said not to do pasta in it because the starch from the pasta could clog it up and then it wouldn't release the pressure. And I'm kind of like, no, that doesn't sound so good. And there were some other things about it that just didn't seem as good as well. Anyway, I ended up sending mine back. So just because it talks, it doesn't mean it's always the best one. Instant pots, air fryers, slow cookers, they're all often digital. But your air fryers and your slow cookers, you can also still get with the knob controls. I do have a bread machine, and I got mine way back in 2004. And the only reason I know that is they were closing a local mall, and it was on sale, and I got it for a ridiculously low price. But they have buttons where, for example, if you're setting the how done you want your bread or what you want it to be like, the first setting might be soft, the second setting might be medium, and the third setting might be crusty, for example. So if you have something that has menu choices like that, what I recommend, if you use Braille or large print, write those things down so that you can easily get to them. And or if you don't use Braille or large print, have some sort of recording device that you can use to put those settings on there if you want to be able to use it independently. And I think most of us want to do that. I do have, although I haven't used it yet, but it will be very usable, a Kasori food saver. That's one of those vacuum sealers. Sadly, I think I'm addicted to Ziploc bags, so I haven't used my food sealer yet. But the buttons are very large and easy to feel, and I think when I do use it, it's going to work very well. There are mixers that are digital. I have one by Cuisinart, and a couple of my favorite brands. I do love Instant Pot multi-pressure cookers. I love a lot of the Cuisinart items, and I love a lot of the Hamilton Beach appliances. But my Cuisinart is a digital mixer, and I thought, well, am I going to be able to use that? Well, I am, because it has two buttons on it. One button is off, and the other button, the first time you push it, it's the slowest speed, and each time you push it while it's still on, it gets to a higher speed. So even though it's digital, it's very easy to use. Your air fryers, you have the standalone air fryers, and then you have the air fryer toaster oven combinations, which I personally like because The standalone air fryers have a very deep basket, but most things that you're going to air fry, the directions will say, place in basket in a single layer. Well, if you're placing French fries or fish fillets or chicken tenders in a basket in a single layer, you don't need your basket to be 3 or 4 inches deep. And the baskets that come with the air fryer toaster oven combinations are more shallow. They're generally a little bigger than the standalone air fryer baskets, and you have a lot of other functions that you can do with them. And I use my air fryer toaster oven almost, well, probably every day, actually. So I like small appliances that will do lots of things, just like your Instant Pot will pressure cook, but it will also saute. It will keep things warm. It has a rice cooker setting. It does very good with that. And it has a lot of buttons that I don't use. Like it has a setting for poultry and a setting for porridge or multigrains. I don't use all those. Usually I just hit high pressure and then the number of minutes that I want and let it cook that way. Although for rice, I use the rice setting, which happens to be a low pressure setting. And for white rice or basmati, something like that, it cooks for about 12 minutes once it comes to pressure. Both of my Instant Pots, I have a 3-quart and a 6-quart, also do have a yogurt setting, and I have successfully made yogurt in it. There's something called cold start yogurt, and it's much easier than, you know, getting the milk to a certain temperature and then taking it away and doing this and that and the other. But if you have an Instant Pot or some other brand of multi-pressure cooker, you'll learn, you know, more easily how to use that as you go. Food processors, I have a Hamilton Beach that's very easy to use. There's only one way to put the bowl on, one way to put the lid on, and it's just no problem. Some newer blenders, you know, all the old blenders, at least that I had ever seen, all the blades were in the bottom and it was sometimes hard to get everything out. Yeah. But a lot of new blenders now, you put whatever you want in the container and then you put the lid on top so that the blades are on the inside. And then you turn it upside down and put it on the base and it will blend your food. So when I got mine, I'm like, wow, this is kind of interesting. So, if you get an appliance, you might, especially if it's supposed to work with Wi-Fi, you might need someone to help you with the initial setup. Again, just as with large appliances, most manuals can be found online so that you can read them either before or after you get it. And kind of learn about the operation. If you can go to a store and actually put your hands on the appliances, that's great. Again, because they usually don't let you plug in things. You know, there are certain things you won't be able to check in the store. But hopefully you'll be able, if you have some vision, you'll be able to see if there's enough contrast for you to see what the settings are. And if you want to label something, again, you can put tactile labels. You know, even if you get something that's analog, you may want to put tactile markings like for 250 and 300 and 350 and 400 or 10 minutes or 15 minutes or 20 minutes. So you can do that. And if you need to take your notes in Braille or large print or record them, and also use word of mouth. If you hear that a lot of other people, for example, love their Cuisinart TOA60 air fryer convection toaster oven, you know, you might want to consider that one. But if you can go and get your hands and or eyes on it and see if you really like it, that can be of help. Again, use YouTube for air fryers and Instant Pots. There are, and slow cookers. There are a lot of books on Bookshare if you get that, if you have that. Sometimes you can get Audible books. And if you get Audible books or I think also Kindle books, you can have your Lady A, or I don't know whether the Google devices read them or not, but you can have Lady A read those books to you. And what I have done, because of course you don't have as much flexibility with your Wi-Fi device as you do, say, with a Victor Reader Stream, I will turn on my Victor Reader Stream and actually record the book and then go back and put bookmarks where each new recipe is. And we all want to save money, so pricing is always important. Check different options. Sometimes Amazon has the best price, but not always. And if you, for example, find it at Bed Bath & Beyond, it may not look like the best price, but I can tell you from experience, if you ask them if you can use a coupon, they'll probably give you a 20% off coupon. So those are just some things that I have learned. And I know we don't have a lot of time left, but let's have questions if you have any.
I'll just say that I have an Omni toaster oven, 11-in-1, and it's one of the Instant Pot offsprings, and we enjoy using it, and we have the rotisserie basket.
Oh, cool!
And if you have things that you need to turn and you don't like to, you know, pull it out and turn it, it's one way to get around that.
All right, awesome. Yeah, mine doesn't have a rotisserie. Okay, anyone else?
Yes, is your air fryer digital, Jeannie?
No, mine is analog.
Okay. I'm just going to make a comment, Jeannie, that you must have a kitchen as big as all outdoors because all these things take up a lot of counter space.
They do. It might be a little cluttered, you know, but I do have a nice kitchen. We bought this house in 2015, and of course, you know, my husband was looking for certain things, and whenever I went into a house that we were considering, the first thing I looked at was the kitchen.
Yes, so, ma'am. Mm-hmm. I don't blame you.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Mm-hmm. Jeannie, I have a question that's not related. Where did you get your degree in rehab teaching?
I actually didn't get a rehab teaching degree. I got a special ed with visual impairment emphasis degree from Peabody College of Vanderbilt University, and in Tennessee that qualified me to be a rehab teacher.
Okay, yeah. I had a coworker that went to Peabody many years ago, yeah.
What was his or her name, do you remember?
Her name was Catherine Strobel. She passed away a few years ago. She would have been about 74 now. I taught in Jackson, Mississippi at a facility, at a rehab center. Yeah, and she taught techniques of daily living. So she did like the grooming, the washer, the dryer, all that. Yeah. I spent most of my years in the communications department.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I taught in the kitchen. My first position was in the kitchen, and anybody that knows me knows I hate to cook.
We had a rehab teacher like that. She taught kitchen skills, and she hated to cook.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And I could see then. I'm blind now. And I could see pretty good then, but I just did not like to cook. Yeah. Any last-minute questions, folks, because it's getting close to 8, if it's not already.
And if any of you want to be on the It's Electric community call through ACB, if you're not already getting the daily schedule, you can request it at community@acb.org. And the next call will be Wednesday night at 7 Eastern Time, 6 Central Time. Also, be sure to join my Facebook group, All Text Small Kitchen Electrics.
Okay. Rita, it's about 5 minutes till. I just had a couple things I wanted to ask Jeannie.
Okay.
One, have you had anyone inquire on the other calls about single burner induction plates?
You know, I have not, and I'm kind of interested. I need to learn more about induction cooking because I recently bought a new set of pans, and I'm going to go ahead and give these a plug because I absolutely love them. They're made by Ninja, and they're called Ninja Never Scratch, I think is what they're called. But I bought mine. This is how I know about the 20% discount. The big set that I wanted was pretty expensive, and they had it at Bed Bath & Beyond. And so I called them and I said, is there any way I can get a discount? And she said, sure, I'll give you a 20% off coupon. And I'm like, yes. So anyway, but I love these pans. They're anodized aluminum, and they have nonstick on the inside, but they're like cooking with cast iron without all the maintenance. So anyway, I highly recommend them if you're in the market for new pans and have a little money that you can spend to splurge on yourself.
Well, I'm a person.
Dolly is. Hey, Dolly, you hear that? Dolly needs some new pans.
But they can be used with induction burners. So
yeah, I have one. And I'm a person with partial vision, so I do have vision to use. I haven't necessarily found one that, or while looking at different other options, haven't necessarily found one that's accessible, but I was just wondering if anyone had come up with one and had mentioned it. But yes, I do like the pots and pans that you just mentioned. Yeah. And then the other thing is in working with seniors or older people who are blind and who don't necessarily have any cooking skills. Mm-hmm. One way for reheating, if they don't have an accessible microwave, is to get a Hot Logic. It takes a little bit longer. It's like, you know, it's kind of like a heated lunchbox. You know, you can take your food to work and plug it in the morning and it would be warm for you at noontime.
Interesting.
And so 2 to 3 hours with the heating, and it's up to regulation temperatures to eat food, and you can eat a meal.
Hot Logic. Okay.
Yep.
Look that one up.
What is the brand of your toaster oven air fryer? I can't remember if you said.
I did.
I'm sorry.
But that's okay. Cuisinart, and it's the model number is T as in Tom, O as in Ox, A as in Apple, 60. TOAC.
Oh, that's right. You did say that. I'm sorry.
Well, it's okay. Not a problem.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody else?
Nope.
Thank you, Jeannie. This has been really informative. I think everybody benefited from our discussion.
You're welcome. I hope I was up to exactly what you wanted. So, but when I saw your call for someone to do it, I thought, oh, I think I can do this. So
you did a good job.